Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of the Muscle and the Hustle podcast. Hopefully I'm sounding nice and crystal clear, coming from the road mic back home in Nuri, in my sister's old bedroom. Back to roots. So, flew home from Mexico Friday. Mickey is in Bangor, so we're both on home soil representing. and we are going to try and do a couple in person as well, because we know people love them. First thing I'd like to say before we dive in any further is, all the love that's being shared with the podcast means the absolute world to me and Mickey. It's actually the amount of people that come up to me saying it's made a real impact, how deep we're going, how much we're diving into topics. Even the fact it just feels like, a lot of people saying it just feels like a really good conversation that you get to eavesdrop on. And that's actually what we really want.
Yeah.
Because the last thing we ever wanted is, do you always sound preachy? It's like, do this, do that. It's more so like a case of like, I'm almost getting therapy from Mickey, vice versa. So we really do appreciate it, because it's been shared massively of late, and the listenership's banging up, and the impact it's having, which I was highlighting in the last podcast, is really making a big difference. Like I had people come up to me today when I was at Newcastle and say like, yeah, don't get me wrong, the videos are really funny, but I'm so glad I found you from the video, but I'm so glad that I've been listening to the podcast. So that honestly means the world. So everybody that's liking, sharing, tagging, that means so, so much. So thank you very much.
Oh, I forgot to tell you something that might dampen your spirits a wee bit.
I don't even want to know. Is it more hate?
No, it's not. Well, no, it's not hate. I'm trying to look for it. I can't find it. Keep talking. I'll look for it. It's a nice message.
Oh, well, there you go. Hopefully. Well, all in. Look, I'm back from Mexico for a couple of weeks. Mickey is home until, when are you home to?
I'm in Australia in the start of October.
There you go. So we'll be off ground then. So hopefully you got some crystal clear podcasts from us. I always notice the flow's a wee bit better anyway whenever we're at home in terms of ideas. We would also like to, we've done an anonymous Q&A. There's a couple of decent, semi-decent questions in there. I think Mickey said there's a lot of shite to, a lot of hate for me that he's not going to read to me, so I don't get triggered. That is one thing that you probably don't see a whole lot of, or maybe you do. Like I'm not saying this is a thing, but as my following sort of exploded over the last 68 weeks, maybe 90, probably last 90 days, like, where do you see my analytic? Like, I'll read these out. These are absolute, this is feels like fake. Like this actually feels fake. Like, where do you hear this? My accounts reached in the last 90 days, right? So we'll do impressions. So this is the amount of people that have seen me. 31 million.
Jesus
6 Christ. Million. 6 million people then have also been reached, plus that about something else. I've gained in the last 90 days about 100. And I think in the last 90 days, it says there, one second, it says total followers in the last, 30 days, it's 170,000 in the last 30 days, which is absolutely a fucking scene. I've never seen anything like that in my life. So that works out at something like 6,000 followers a day. I don't even know how that's possible. I don't even know who's listening to my shite. Thank you to everybody else. But with that, there's so much love, but there's so much hate.
Another 10 reviews as well. Another 10. Hopefully,
any negative?
No. We're sitting at 4.9. So technically, out of 187 reviews,
there's only one that's lower than like 5 stars.
Yeah, and then on Apple it's the same. Shout out that
how many do you need to like bring that back to 5?
I don't know actually. It goes between 5 and 4.9 like weekly.
It's like you, the one dirty mark on your record that like gets brought up. It's like, you know, robbing something when you were 4 years old in a shop, and they're like, but you did steal. It was fucking
it. Shout out to Liam O'Connell. He's a listener to the podcast, and Liam bought me a present.
Did he?
He did. He bought me a present. He left me in a bottle of Grey Goose in the Halo nightclub.
That's fucking unbelievable.
Liam listened to the podcast. Me and him go back and forth. He's a DJ, and he just wanted a bit of advice on branding and gigs and stuff. And Liam's a real good lad. And I just, like anybody, send him a squad of voice notes one night when I was driving. Must have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 8 voice notes, 8 minutes. He got his own wee podcast. And yeah, he just dropped it in on Monday night. It was very nice. What a lovely surprise to get.
It's hard to fucking bait. There you go. Mickey's now accepting bribes, people. yeah. I'm getting this, like Manscaped, whenever Manscaped sent us out the kit and all, didn't get any of that.
Near got a wee nip of the Manscaped the last time.
Well, that's because you've been using it about 3 years ago. That got sent out, but you never know. With that as well, we were saying thanks to the shirt. But yeah, the anonymous Q&A, I don't know if you want to die, but was there any good questions?
No, there is a couple of good questions now. There's a couple of good ones.
We'll do a dating one soon. We'll get Caroline on for that.
Well, actually, there's a few wee dating questions now.
Oh, I mean, I'm back on it myself. Hilarious. So you'll get a good laugh.
Right, so... do you boys find it hard dating as you're relatively known in certain areas and stuff? You can tell a fella wrote that and stuff.
You can answer first because I have literally...
Yeah. I struggle a wee bit, especially with online stuff, with apps and stuff, because sometimes people are like, oh, I know who you are, and say stuff like that, and it's probably not the best... opening way to meet someone when they go, oh, I kind of know who you are, or I know someone who knows you, or you know, something like that there. And I find that a wee bit hard, because then it's like, oh, they've probably already got, and this is probably in my head, that they've probably already got a narrative in their head about me. But sometimes it is hard, because maybe this is just me overthinking it. If you do shoot your shot and you miss your shot, then people may say, oh, he was fucking trying to slide into my DMs, etc., etc., etc. But I wouldn't say it's relatively hard. It's just have to be a lot pickier and wiser to it, if you know what I mean. It's, you know, especially like in places like Oma, my hometown or whatever. But other than that, like, I don't know if this is coming from because you're relatively well known in an area. But it also means that, you know, if they know who you are, you know, it does come with some sort of, you know, you can't be an asshole, and that's a good thing.
You probably already, to some extent, like, if I name somebody you know, you'll already have, even if you've not met them, you'll have some sort of idea of what they're like, even if you've never met them. Like, if I name, like, I don't know, like, say, for example, like, my sister or something, and you'll be like, right, well, she's got this trait, that trait, blah, blah. You'll have an online perception regardless of if you ever met them. You don't mean to. It's just like, you don't mean to judge a person, but you technically sort of will to some extent. 9 times out of 10 have some idea or function around that, you know. I think I've not been on any dates since I've been single, and it's probably, this is one of the reasons why I was just saying there now, like, I've flirted and I've had the crack, but I've not actually taking anybody out, and that's me being straight. I've just not done it.
But then again, you haven't been home and fucking, you know.
It's not, yeah, but then away, like, I don't get me wrong, I was chatting away with, like, girls in the cafes, and they were like, what are you doing tonight and all, but I just didn't feel ready, like, I just didn't, and I'm still of that disposition where, like,
yeah,
I don't get me wrong, there's certain people who could move from a relationship into another or into something else. See, the best way to get over somebody, saying to get under somebody, for me, that is definitely not the case. For me, that would probably make things worse for me. Well, I feel like I would just end up going for it. Do you know what you see a lot of time too, is when somebody bounces out of one relationship, they go for the exact opposite of the person they were going out with. Yeah. So like, you might see, for example, like, you know, somebody that goes out with like a workaholic go for the exact opposite, or, you know, somebody that's very serious go out with somebody very out there, or whatever it is, because that trait's turned, you are almost sick of that trait, that individual, that reminds you of it. So you see that, whereas there's traits that I would want in a person that would probably, you know, I would miss then. So it's one of them things where, for me, and I also love that saying of, if you don't heal your wounds, you'll bleed all over somebody else. So I do feel like you need to have the right time in between that. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. Like, fuck me, it's not hard. Like, as I said before in a different podcast, like, I've not slept, I'm no shame in saying this, I've not slept with a whole lot of women. Sticking my dick into as many holes as possible is not going to please me as an individual. Yeah. It'll actually probably fuck me over in the long run, headwise, and then there'll be a load of many big bad wolves running around, and it'll be a fucking disaster.
Howling about them. I have a theory on the, you know, best way to get over someone, getting under someone. I think,
no, it depends on the person.
If you can get under someone quickly, the person you're getting over probably wasn't the right person for you, because if it's someone that's you've broken up with and upset, the last thing you'll want to do is get with someone else. Like, that's the last thing you want to do. But if it's someone you maybe didn't care about as much, or they didn't care about you, or you knew it was a bad relationship, I think people would find it a lot easier to get under somebody else. But if the person, like, if you're anyway upset,
you're cheated on,
or you're a wee bit heartbroken, the last thing you want to do is sleep with someone else. And that's me talking from from past history. Like I have rebounded, and when I think back on it now, every girl I rebounded on or after I split up, when look back and now, was a pretty shitty relationship and something that, you know, probably I shouldn't. And back, like, if I was looking at it now, I would never even go out with that person. But, yeah, I just think if you're so quick to jump under somebody else, the relationship you had prior probably wasn't the right relationship. And yeah. I think that's a telltale sign, because the last thing you want to do if you're a wee bit sad or a wee bit heartbroken is fucking date somebody, because it's anybody that's listening now can say this, it's not easy. It's really not easy. And you know, people, you know, everybody's built different. You know, there is some cold people out there that can just switch off. I probably used to be one of them sort of people, but yeah, it's definitely not the right realm. We talked about it before. Everybody's built different. I would say for you dating now locally, Tony, like, say this would be me thing, I'm not trying to scare you from dating. It's hard for you to go on a first date, like, locally. Like, you couldn't
be out everywhere.
Like, aye, like, if you're in a bar, someone's gonna see you. I wasn't on a date when I was with my graphic designer on Friday night, Noma, and we were at the new opening of a new place, Noma, and we were sitting having a drink. We're sitting in the outside area and chatting to the bouncer, and the bouncer goes, someone's either taking a picture of you or me. And I looked up and I seen a girl with her kind of camera up sort of at the side of the table, and you could tell she was taking a picture, and I just kind of laughed it off. And then about, I'd say, an hour later, a fella I know screenshot it and send it to me and goes, that's my mate's wee sister. She must have put her on their Snapchat. But it's just weird shit like that kind of makes first dates kind of wee bit hard. Not that they're doing anything wrong, but it's just like, you know, it's hard. It's a wee bit harder to be.
It's just one of them things where, like,
it's harder to be private, and I like things private.
It's because it puts pressure. I think it would put pressure. Do you know what I wouldn't like? I don't like the fact it puts pressure on the other individual as well, because the fact is then immediately they're going to be known as, like, this person. Even if the date didn't go well, you've been seen together, so it highlights that. Like, it's one of them things where people just assume. I think in terms of, like, people probably think, oh, it definitely helps because there's status and there's this and that.
That can scare people too. That can scare girls away if they look at your following.
Two-sided coin. For me, it's one of them things where I've not really been outdated enough to know. I am going to be back in the field now, as I was highlighting when I was in Mexico, I was having a laugh saying I'll slide into people's DMs and stuff. So I'll be giving this a word, but I actually would love to, like, obviously blur out the individual, but I would love to be, like, talking people through it, because it's definitely something that most people would hide going back out into the dating field. And I feel like that's something where I am going to fuck up. I'm going to say the wrong thing, or I'm going to, Joe, not be used to, because it has been like a long time now. So it's one of them things where there's going to be, but I would love, I think as I go through it, obviously I'll keep the other person anonymous, but it'll be interesting because it'll not be their fuck ups. It'll definitely be on me. But I think the listenership will find that quite interesting, because it's going to start realistically happening. Like, I'm getting a lot of people now. I went on like Hinge. I've never been on Hinge. So I was like, I'll download Hinge, because I assume that's the one you go on. And like, I had about first five people write to me going, can I just double check that this is you? And I was like, oh, fuck's sake. And somebody else wrote to me going,
to get you to howl like a wolf. To get you howl like a wolf down the thing.
I was like, and somebody else wrote to me being like, you're the funniest person alive. And I was like, when you meet me, you're going to be like, you are the most boring, square-headed cunt ever. And you're going to go, you're not in, like, your videos. You're not even funny. You don't even make mom jokes. And I'm going to go, fuck's sake. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the dating thing, for me, it's one of the things where I honestly don't know how that's going to go. I would say there's just pros and cons. I don't think it'll make things easy. I think it'll make things harder.
Do you think when people see the amount of following you have that it can put them off? Because I've had that in the past.
I'd say I've turned some on and some on.
The ones that turn on aren't the ones you want to be dating. That's what we would call in the DJ world frothers. But I've noticed, like, in the past, if I've, like...
You call them... is it clouties? No, it's not.
It's clout chasers, but we call them frothers because they froth at the mouth when they see your following. But I notice a few girls that, like, if you were chatting... You were chatting them in the night out, and then they follow you on Instagram the next day, and they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize you had... And I don't even have that many followers. It makes them a wee bit awkward, because then they think, oh, there's bound to be loads of competition. And then when they chat to you for a while, they realize that you're not like that. Trust, but their initial thing is, oh my God.
See anybody that thinks there's competition in my Instagram DMs? my following is 94% male as of today. 94, right? So yes, that's a large
Even the podcast is more fucking females.
Yeah, right. So there's 6% are female. I would say out of the 6% that are female, probably 90% of them don't use their Instagram accounts. And on top of that, the other whatever 10% left probably think this boy is four foot and fuck all. So yeah, I wouldn't be on Hinge if my Instagram was like, do you know what Mike Thurston says in a YouTube video? My Instagram is like Tinder on steroids. My Instagram is more like Grindr on steroids. It's definitely not fucking Tinder. So don't think that it's the cream of the crop. That's the grass is greener. That's where people think, oh fuck, he's got it. I'm still gonna have to work for it like every single other person. But
what did you put your head in on Hinge?
On Hinge it was 5'6", 5'7", I think I put it on. That's what I am. I'm like I'm in between. I think the last time I got measured, fuck, it must be 10 years ago now. I got measured in my PT course. And I was 5'6", 7", like, or 6 or something. Like, it wasn't tall. So, you know yourself, you always round up. You never round down. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm just 6'1", like.
That's barefoot, too. Like, the big man wears Prada boots on the first date, so I'm probably actually rocking about 5'9". do not know what hair. She'll be like, fuck, you're a big tall fucker. And I'll be like, yeah, I see these stilettos. Wait until they get off. Yeah, so I don't know. This
can probably beat into another question that was asked. What's our views on open relationships?
That's personally, is that where you go out and you sleep with somebody else?
I think that would be the basic of it.
That's not for me personally.
Is it a relationship if that's the case?
For me, I personally couldn't have my wife, my girlfriend, go with anyone else, or the idea of. See, for me, anytime I felt like I'm deeply head over heels for somebody, I don't want anybody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think if you never felt that as a man, like, it's completely fine, but you will get that at some stage. If you haven't, you should get it. And it's a really good example is, like, you aren't as physically attracted to people. Now, don't get me wrong, you can turn around and go, fuck, like, look at her bum. Like, look at the shape of her. She's gorgeous.
Oh,
like,
you can appreciate other people's... No,
you can even be slightly turned on. Do you know, like, I could look at Eva Mendes and go, holy fuck, she is so sexy, or a woman that walks by, but I wouldn't want to sleep with them. Yeah. There's a very big difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't want that connection with that individual. Now, that's probably a wee bit deep for most, but I think you will get that. What's your view on that one?
I just don't know if the word open and relationship can go together. I don't think if it's open, is it a relationship? It's just two people that are just banging each other, but they're allowed to bang other people. I don't see the relationship. It would be what was it the young ones call them? Situationship.
Yeah, like if you order steak and it's so good, you don't order another main. You go, right, the steak was enough. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, you'd be greedy and get more steak, which is going back to the same course. But if you're getting a different course, it means it was shit.
Yeah, well, that's like a thing where you see, like, guys with, like, incredible girlfriends, incredible-looking girlfriends, and they do the dirt with girls that are, like, not even on the same fucking league as them. Which is, if you had a Ferrari at home, why would you go and drive a Fiat? No, that's another thing I never got. Like, I never got that. And it happens so much.
People don't put effort, though, into
It's greed. It's just people are greed. It's just greed, and fellas want more, and girls want more. I don't know, like, I don't know if cheating's still a big thing, because, I don't know, it's been a long time since I've heard of anybody being caught cheating, to be honest. Normally there'd always be some sort of fucking scandal and celebs and shit, but you never hear of it now. But I just don't know, like, there's different things. Like, there's open relationships that would be a fetish in a way, which is a different thing. Like, swinging seemed to be a big thing now, especially in Ireland, in rural Ireland especially.
I can think of nothing worse than somebody tanking my girlfriend or my wife. Like, that is literally the epitome of the worst ever. Even if I got to tank somebody else, no way.
I also think the age demo is a lot older than you'd reckon. It's not like it's fucking
people that are going like 25 years and want to mix it up, is it?
It's like out there. The two Johnnies talked about in their podcast, there's a website, I think they were going to sign up that just to actually see It was called Irish Swingers. Or Catholics. No, Catholic Swingers, maybe. It was called something, anyway. And they were going to sign up just to see if it was as legit, because some person wrote in a question. But anyway, that would be, I suppose, I don't know if that's classed as an open relationship, but I would say if you're thinking of an open relationship, or if someone's offered you an open relationship, probably best to knock the thing that you're calling a relationship on the head and just go, well, if your other half has said to you, you're allowed to go do an X, Y, and Z, there's probably no point in being with her, because, you know, if it was real, you would be definitely saying, don't be fucking going near anybody else.
Yeah, no, I think in that question, no, wise up, catch grip. If you're not okay with being a one pony man, then you need to change the pony completely.
Aye, definitely. Aye. Well, that's that. Yeah, that, and that could be that if the person has said this to you, or you're maybe just asking a blank question, if someone has sent this to you or said this to you, the chant, and you're thinking this is a good idea, fucking run a mile and look at why you're with that person, because, you know, some of the guilt lies with you too. If you're thinking this is a great idea, if you're yearning for a hall pass, you know, is there really a point in being with the person? Another question we have: Would either of you charity stroke influencer boxing? Would either of you do?
It depends on how much would be roughly raised and offered. If it wasn't a whole lot and it was like a small amount, I know that sounds cheeky, I'd be better actually just like, if somebody goes, look, it's going to be pay-per-view, it's going to be £1 million, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely, because that's a really big amount for charity. If somebody goes, it's going to be £4,000 in the canal court and you're going to fight, so I'd be like, I'd be better just giving the £4,000 to save my time. That's not going to.
Is there any influencer? Is there any influencer you'd like a wee box at?
Yeah.
Nobody that jumps out, do you?
Do you have to do weight? Like, would like
as long as it's like a ball mark. Like, you don't have to be like fucking on chart champion weight.
I'm 81 now, so like I could go up to 85 or go down to 76, but like, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for the bigger fellas. You know, it would be somebody, it'd probably have to be somebody small, I don't know, or somebody very skinny. It'd be like Mike Tyson fighting Joe, somebody tall. And whoosh, whoosh,
whoosh, whoosh. Yeah. So what are you, 78 kilo?
I'm 81 now.
81. We'll say you go down to 78.
I was 105 at the end of the bulk.
78 kg in boxing weight. 78 kg... You'd be just below heavyweight.
Fuck off.
81 kgs heavyweight.
I'd be middleweights. Jeez, I get my fuck kicked in there.
That could be weight, that could be women's.
Don't know. Big respect to the likes of Shane Todd and all doing like the boxing. Like, I think that takes balls though, because like, it's fucking not easy.
Wait there, no, I was wrong. Light heavy, 75 kg. We'll get you down to 75 for middleweight.
No way, I couldn't, mate. I was 74.9 on stage, D'Adrian, and you're dead, so it'd have to be the one above that. What's the one above that?
Was it 81?
Say 80 kilos.
80 kilos. Well done, mate. Wait there, no, wait.
You're fucking useless. Jesus Christ, somebody come in and read this for him. Fuck me.
I can't, it's too small, right?
What are you even typing in? Somebody listening, come give this Iron Man a hand. He needs a pair of glasses. What is 80 kg in boxing weight? Somebody's listening to this going, these boys are wobbers. Like, what is going on in their heads?
What's 80 kg? Oh, wait there. No, we're on it now. 84
kg is middle weight.
You would be 79.39 light heavy.
Right, well, there you go. Be light heavy then. Yeah, light heavyweight's in around 80.
They're too tall for you. They're far too. They're like fucking 6'5".
if the right offer came and it was going to be enough money, yes, I would do it. No issue if it's for a good cause. But if it was,
would you take on James Smith?
Yeah, I probably would give James Smith a rattle. Yeah, I think he'd be really, really tough. But the thing is,
he's an ex rugby player. Like,
yeah, he'd be a good boxer. Like, he'd have a large support line, have a lot of hate from his. Like, it would be rival camps almost. But I think whenever I do talk to James Smith way down the line, I actually think like I'll get along with him. He's definitely a lovely person.
Oh, he's dead on. Like, I was telling you before he shot. Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like if you're Catholic and if you're Protestant, I'm Catholic, or if you're Muslim, I'm Catholic. Doesn't mean because we have a different view on one thing that you have to dislike me.
Yeah, I was just
that's why yeah. It makes no sense. Like Joe, for example, like if you disagree with me, you send an X says wank, you don't need to hate me now. You just need to go, I don't agree with that. And I go, yeah, dead on. What else is going on in your life? Joe, my entire philosophy and my entire worth is not based around one principle in my life. Otherwise I would hate every other religion. I would hate every other race, Joe. That's exact same as that. Like you need to realize that an opinion, everybody's allowed to have it. Entitled to whatever way you want. But yeah, no way. Who would you fight?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Probably
you
one.
You'd be heavier than me, wouldn't you? What do you weigh right now, roughly?
Fuck, 99, 98.
Yeah, you'd be like heavy, super heavy. Me and you'd be against Tyson.
One of them YouTubers and just beat the fucking lining out of them, and then make a name for myself.
You versus is it Chubbs?
Chubbs, who's I like him.
Yeah, he.
No, I like him. He's too funny. He's too funny. I couldn't. I would have to have a bit of dislike for someone. But I mean, like some of them fucking gamers or someone. I don't want anybody that could hurt me.
Right. Well, on to the next question. That's hilarious.
On the next one. About the James Smith thing. James Smith's actually Irish, believe it or not.
Yes, I knew that.
He was adopted. Let's see. Can I ask that? what's your view on the NA influencer scene? I bet you this is stemming from the award ceremony last night in Belfast.
I didn't even know there was any awards.
It's good. The VAVA awards were on last night in Belfast, and there was a lot of shit going on around Twitter. To be honest, this is a God's honest truth.
The VAVA awards new.
I think this might be the second or third year.
Is this like where you get entered and then to get the award you have to shirt your page and get everybody to vote for you? Because
no, well, the VAVA agency is an agency in Belfast, and they kind of like put influencers to do like we influence and stuff. I kind of loosely know one of the owners. There's two girls on it. I loosely know one of them from years ago, but they yeah, they were all out in force last night. I don't know where it was. Probably the Europa. It was the Europa, actually.
Damn, it's best. How do you get categorized, though, as like a good...
You see, the girl who... The girl... There was one... I think the girl from Newry won the big award. And Olivia won... I'm pretty sure she won
the Baba Award winner. Yes, she did. Sponsored by Thompson Carter. I don't know who that was.
Thompson Carter is a Northern Ireland brand that make aftershave.
Yes.
A young fella runs it. Fair fucks them too. Yeah, so it was I can see why this thing was going around Twitter last night. The problem is, right, I see the word influencer as a derogatory term. If you have a skill. Like for Tony, for example, Tony is a fitness professional, he's a great coach. If I was Tony and someone says, "Oh, you're an influencer," I would fucking lose my rag because I feel it as an influencer is someone who influences, and yeah, Tony does influence, but he's more than that. You know what I mean? I feel influencer is like a bottom level just term that I almost think it's derogatory if you are a high skilled person and what you do. If you are like
if you're a doctor
that's giving out advice online but you grow a big following and you're a doctor. You're not an influencer. No, you can have influence over people, but the term influencer, like no offense to anybody that was at their awards last night, they have fuck all influence over anything, unless it's a wee girl or a wee fella.
I think it could use, do you know what it could use? And I know where you're coming from. What I think it could use is it could use reframed or recategorized. Like, I think the term is derogatory, as you say. I think, yeah. Like, for example, when somebody goes to me, "What do you do?" And I go, "Oh, like I coach and I do like fitness videos online." They go, "So you're like an influencer?" And I go, technically, if you categorized me, like I'd say, yes, coach. But the thing is, technically, with the following, you'd be like, yeah, influencer, or Casey's an influencer, or any of us are. But the thing is, I think that term is almost with a negative connotation for most people. Not all the time.
It's because the bar is so low to get into it. Like the person, there's one of the ones I seen a girl win, and I actually like her content. Her content's very good. She won an award last night, and she's got 1,600 followers.
But I think, yo, does her content make a good impact? Is it the right topic? Like,
oh no, or is she, or like, our content's very Northern Ireland based, and I have found a lot of good coffee shops from her that I forgot about. And I like the way she shoots the things, and she's actually got quite a good voiceover voice too. But the entry, like, so 1600 people follow her, which is, it's a good amount of followers for anybody. But you know what I mean? It's like, where is the bar set now? Or can anybody be an influencer? And that's why it takes away from the people who actually are like an actual thing, like yourself or a doctor or someone who's given like good life advice or like relationship advice. People that have a real talent for a certain thing. It's like calling a footballer an influencer because they have probably more influence over most people in the world. They're still a footballer. I just think it's getting a wee bit out of control that people are living this influencer lifestyle, but they're not bringing much to the table. And I hope people are smart enough not to put all their eggs in that basket.
Well, you need to reinvest. Like, for example, like all like large, like 80% of my money had to already be has been reinvested from my career already. Like,
yeah, and yeah.
Like, yes, you can keep building your following, building your name, and then stick your name on clothing. Like, really good example, like Kim Kardashian. She's not making them swimsuits. Like, she just stuck her name on them and takes a cut. Like, it's one of them things where, yes, she might design them or whatever. You maybe know that. Maybe she does do all the work and I've just picked the wrong name.
Well, I think she could be one of the ones that made, actually.
She does probably do the work. It's like Kanye. Like, Kanye actually went over and designed the Yeezys and there. Yeah. And that, like, don't get me wrong, I'm using it as an example. It's not actually what I mean. So before somebody comes
out. It's different, like, when they put, like, their name on the makeup.
Your name is something. Yeah, and you're making a difference. I think you get paid by the direct impact you have on a solution or a problem. So if they're, see, for me, I just think it's the wrong term now. I think it needs to be re-categorized because you, for example, like, one person that does the vlogs about their home life and what cleaning products they use, like Mrs. Hinch, right? She could have X amount of followers. And then there's me. But then you're put under influencer because you just use social media online. Whereas that term should probably be terminated and it should be individually biased. But the problem is
exactly how.
Yeah, but the problem is as well, it's the way it was initially brought up, and there was a lot of love for influencers and then there was a lot of hate. So I think it's the case that it never switched back around to an extent.
Yeah. I think it's too easy for people to label, like award ceremonies like that are labeling people as influencers, that some of them would be just that, but some of them also would be like your wee lad Joel M. He's a talented guy. What he does them like magic tricks and illusions and stuff. Like, he always gets, he does a lot of that influencer stuff. But for me, he's a lot more than that. Because of the talent and the craft that he's got and how good he's doing. And, you know, the amount of like famous people he's like being brought out to do magic for or whatever he would call sleight of hands and illusions. I feel like the NA influencer scene, they set the bar so low that they accept everything. But I can't see if it was if it was done by like link clicks and if I share this how many seals, like I would say you'd be quite blown away how little the actual seals are.
Well, usually in things, the way they work is they're done by votes. So like the way that works is like, say, for example, I'll not name magazines, but I've been told, look, you've been nominated for a personal trainer award of the year, or you've been nominated for fitness influence of the year, or you've been nominated for mentor of the year, all this stuff that I get messages about. And then they go, now all you need to do is share to your page and get your page to vote. It just boosts their publicity. That's what they're looking. Looking to boost their business because they're hosting that. They're making money off it. You probably have to buy event tickets, builds their name. And then down the line, Joe, they'll obviously make more money off it. So they're using your platform to actually build their awards, which is completely understandable and completely normal. But in terms of, like, I never share them. And that's why I'm never, and that's maybe straight. If I shared them, I'm sure I'd do all right.
Yeah. I couldn't even find it now. It's on Instagram. I was a finalist in Irish Wedding DJ of the Year. And I got sent that in April, May time. I hadn't done a wedding the last wedding I'd done was last summer. It was Darren McCurry's, who plays for Tyrone. I've done one wedding. And seemingly I was in the final of the Irish one, which when I looked into it, it was just for Republic of Ireland residents. So not only was I only did one wedding, I didn't put myself forward for it. And I wasn't even eligible to be in the fucking thing anyway. But the person was sending me an email to sign up and buy a table for the grand final.
I think it just needs categorized differently because I think it's a negative connotation. So, for example, congratulations to Olivia too. I think that's awesome.
She's a lovely girl. She's a very nice girl.
And the thing is too, I guarantee, like, I've not been on her page a lot. It's not my sort of style, but I guarantee you there's value there if you're into fashion or
and if you're a young mummy as well, you're a young mum. But Aunt Olivia is a lovely I done a wee bit of work for Healthy Cave back in the day, and she's a very smart girl. Not taking anything away from her. And she
Like, for example, there you go, we're out in the first 10K for cancer focus. Do you know what I mean? Good, positive influence, but it's one of them things where you almost need to recategorize, because then you get somebody that's called an influencer that not like is a dick, and then she's getting categorized with that, I'm getting categorized with that, and so is that person. Whereas almost be nice if like you're a fitness coach, Joe. But then what would you even call that? Do you know what I mean? It's one of them things where like
There's careless stuff too. Like if you put someone on a pedestal and they're pushing shit that's really not good for you. Like products, because we and you said, like, this podcast is not sponsored, but if a sponsor came along that we both believed in.
And the thing is too, and the thing is, sorry, I don't mean to, one other thing too is, like, you don't actually influence people anymore. I suppose it's because the amount of people that are on camera, you technically have some sort of influence on their lives, but I actually don't like that term, because it sounds like you're almost, you can mainly negative towards it, if you get me. It's very, very interesting, actually, as a topic.
Yeah, there's a very good, I must find it, somebody who's on Brian King's podcast, and they talked about the art of influencing, and there is a whole psychological thing about it, about, you know.
Well, technically, you are influencing people because, like, for example, if I put up a Graham's earlier ice cream.
Graham's?
And, like, oh, I'm wondering, does that freeze there when I'm talking?
No.
I put up a Graham's earlier, and technically, I'm sure there's somebody who saw that and goes, oh, I would love a Graham's, and then they go get a Graham's. So, like, you technically do. So maybe it is the right term. It's a very interesting topic.
It's, like, based on, isn't it, the green-eyed monster? If you have it, I want it.
Do you want a good example of this? Do you want a really good example? The Food Review Club was in Newry.
He was.
And, like, he's a massive page, right? He's just really well known. And he got, if I'm correct, he got a Camla fish and chips and said it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And on the way back from Newcastle, we were going to stop in a fish and chip shop in Newcastle. And Arsenal goes, no way, that boy at not one, I haven't eaten it yet. I'm going to go there. So, like,
yeah,
he's influenced.
He's very good for business. He done a lot of good work for the Smash Bros in Belfast. If nobody's ever had a Smash Bros burger in Belfast, the best burger you'll ever have, I would say, in the world. I'm not even joking. It's fucking mental. But the other one was too, that Guinness guru. He put the bar Bittles in Belfast on the map. Have I had where?
You had this place he went to today. It looked to be fair, that fish and chip looks unreal, and that's only around the corner from me. He went to a thing, the Holy Smoke Barbecue Shack. I think that's
It's in Craigavon, Portadown. I was meant to go to it on Friday.
Looks unreal.
I was meant to go to it on Friday, actually, with a friend of mine. He bought a new car and he wanted to take it for a spin.
Well, they have him up, mate. It's a burger. It's, oh my, mate, that is so many calories, though.
Your man, he was a pastor or a reverend, the guy who does all the barbecue.
Well, it looks phenomenal.
It's meant to be. It's meant to be class. It opens between 5 and 8, which is a very short window.
That's when you know it's good. Like, what's the next question then? Let's roll, because these are quick.
I think
answered that one very poorly, but very interesting.
You see, it's hard to answer that question because I think a lot of people unluckily so because yeah, exactly, so but there's some of them like I wouldn't class some of them as an influencer because they're more than that, you know what I mean. And then there's so many ones that are coming from a very positive, good place, but then there's other ones that are just looking money, and I just can't get on board with it. Like, when someone's pushing a product that I know for a fact they'll never fucking use that product, and you're like, I don't like that because I know what you're doing. And you know what? They have to make money and everybody has their way, but I'm very much of a person where I like to do things right. Well, finishing this one here, because this is, well, this is the last one, I think. Dream guests for the podcast, but has to be Irish / Northern Irish.
Oh, fuck.
Conor McGregor, because he'll put the podcast to the fucking moon.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
I think that would be a good podcast. I enjoy his voice. I think Pierce Brosnan would be good too.
Patrick Kilty.
Yeah.
Colin Geddes and Aaron McCann would be funny.
I quite like, do you know what? One very realistic one I'm going to say that should be happening is probably like more local comedians that are quite good, like Shane Todd.
Shane's
like
good.
That's a very good podcast. Like, that's something that should already have happened by now, but it's one of them things where if it has to be Irish, it's probably going down that line. Trying to figure out who else. Don't get me wrong, like Roy McIlroy would be great to talk about work ethic and the drive and all, but I don't know if he would be my sort of crack, I'm not going to lie. So it'd be more towards maybe, I was going to say Billy Connolly, but he's Scottish.
He is Scottish.
That's a good whack there.
Trying to think, is there any female? We're very male heavy there. Oh, very, your girl, Joanne McNally.
Who's that?
She does a podcast with Vogue Williams. She's fucking hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And a wee girl called, I think her name is Alison Spittle. Could be saying that wrong. She's mental too. I really like her.
Really?
Yeah. And you know what, she was actually really
quite good as well. I think Katie Taylor could be quite good.
She would be. She'd be intense. She'd be intense.
That's the only thing she'd do. As long as she can take.
She would put me in you. She would fucking bait us, I'd say. Couldn't be in person.
I think we could end up getting her fuck kicked in by her.
You know who's actually was really good on Kong or Shane Todd's podcast? Your doll, Kaylee, who does the lip syncing on TikTok.
Yeah, something along that line would be quite
good. She was actually very good. So it kind of makes it makes a wee bit weird that she doesn't speak in her videos because she's miming. But then when she speaks in the podcast, you're like, fuck, you're very interesting. But because of your style of content, you can't really show people that.
Like, don't get me wrong, I think somebody like, and this sounds ridiculous, but like even likes like somebody mega famous would be a very interesting take. Like, do you know the way I like Nadine Coyle? I know her voice, a lot of people find talk, but how famous she is, I would find that a very interesting conversation as a female compared to male, because she's also not seen as just like she was in, this sounds terrible, she was in, what's up on Girls Aloud?
Girls Aloud, she played about her age.
They were also seen as like sex symbols to an extent because of how good looking they all were.
Well, she was top of the level.
Yeah, exactly. So I would love to, like, I'd be interested to see like a famous male's comparison to that would be very interesting, because I wonder like how much sticks she got. Like, you know, she would have been very, very sexualized during that era too. Like, that was a peak era for that. And I think that would be a very interesting conversation. I would also love a famous, like, if it was going to be a famous person, like a famous older.
Pamela Ballantyne.
Who?
Pamela Ballantyne.
Colin Farrell too, and Cillian Murphy would be. I think Colin Farrell would be.
Colin Farrell would be good. Cillian Murphy would be another intense boy.
Brendan Gleeson, I googled him there now. That would be the ticket as well. But I think Cillian Murphy, I know he's a good actor, but I don't think he would make, I think he'd be make a very deep, interesting conversation if you wanted like a deep talk on something. But I feel like Colin Farrell would go any direction.
Well, Cillian Murphy, if we had him on a podcast and if we shot it in Belfast, he would go into it about the Troubles, because he is a fucking expert in the Troubles.
Do you know who would be unbelievable, and he's got a great life story, and he's very young, and people that are a fan of him are going to kill me, is it Barry McGill, the boy?
Barry Keoghan.
Yeah, because his mum and dad were like heroin addicts or something. There's the shit that went on his childhood life, and he's completely.
I think he is a professional boxing fight coming up. I think he has a professional boxing fight coming up.
Like, I didn't know that, really.
I think he is. I think he's gonna. He's meant to be fucking unbelievable. I think I've heard something about that. I think he's got.
His father was gone, and his mother struggled with a heroin addiction. He was in 13 different foster homes in Dublin until he finally ended up living with his grandmother at age 10. His mother passed away a few months after this, or years. So like, he's had a very rough upbringing, and I love the fact of how he's mega successful now. And I think that journey would be very interesting for a lot of people to hear, because look how well he's done and look at his background. And like, it's like,
Joe. Philly McMahon, who played for Dublin. He won eight All Irelands. But the thing about Philly was Philly's
really narrow this down.
Philly would be one. You know what? I'm gonna text him to see if it ever come on.
Farrell. I'll text him as well.
Because Philly, I was chatting him before because I was meant to do a thing in his gym in Dublin. His story's mad because his dad was from West Belfast and he was in court in Newry of all places. And he was going to be put to jail because he was part of the Troubles. And he escaped through the toilet window and moved to Dublin. And his son won eight All Irelands. And that's fucking true. That's true, isn't it? But yeah, that will wrap it up. I'm sweating like a pig here because I'm wearing a big hoodie. But yeah, it was a decent wee podcast.
Guys, different. Not as deep as we normally are. We'll dive deeper in the next one.
I will. The next one will be an in-person one if we can get it sorted. We need to sort out the studio.
Sort that off air. Let them go.
Guys, thank you very much. Rate, review. Do your thing, and thanks so much for all the support. We'll see you soon.